Sports on a Saturday morning on WRMJ, WRMJ.com. We've been doing the Sportsline program since 1979, and we celebrate today Andy Say's time at Rock Ridge High School. We're bummed he's leaving. He's going to UT, so we brought him in studio. I was telling Coach Say off the air, a little basketball history lesson. The first ever state tournament I went to was in 1979. UT played. I was just a junior high kid at the time. And the last state tournament I went to was the Rock Ridge Rockets. Why are you leaving us, Coach Say?
Oh, it's bittersweet, that's for sure. But ultimately, you know, when you coach, a lot of times the family side takes the back seat. And I had an opportunity where I could kind of do something to help my family. So ultimately, that's what it came down to. And, you know, I've loved my time at Rock Ridge, loved the players, loved the people. But yeah, it's as an adult, you know, you've got to weigh doing what you want versus what you should do. And it just kind of came down to making that decision for my family.
So reflect first up, just reflect on your time as Rock Ridge. Now, 6 years as a head coach, you started there as an assistant. You spent 1 year as a head coach at Galva, really young in your career. I know probably a tough question. You never know when the last time you're going to walk off the floor as a head coach. How do you size up your time at Rock Ridge?
I'm grateful. That's the word that just keeps coming to mind. I mean, for the last 9 years, I've been a part of this community. So a quarter of my life has been spent here. And I'm just kind of grateful to be a part of it. You know, we've had a lot of success, obviously, in the win column. As a team, but just looking at the memories and the relationships, that's really what is most important to me.
So, you know, the conversations that you have to have, so, and maybe this is something you can't answer, but when you had to tell the Rock Ridge kids, hey, you know, I got an opportunity, I'm going to move to United Township High School, what was that conversation? That had to be a pretty tough conversation, I assume.
It was awful. It was gut-wrenching, just having to look those kids in the eyes and make that statement to them and kind of let them know I wasn't going to be able to finish the job with them. It was something that obviously I had to do a lot of soul searching and thinking prior to that conversation. And then a lot of sleepless nights leading up to that night. So it was tough, but you know, what I mentioned to a couple of the kids is like those tough decisions, those tough conversations stem from positive things, you know, my opportunity, obviously. But also on the flip side of that is it wouldn't be that tough of a conversation if I didn't have such a great relationship with those guys. So although it was really difficult, I hope they can kind of take away and appreciate that those tough decisions, those tough conversations come from positive things.
Now, you know, Rock Ridge has been playing the last several years at that tournament at the beginning of the season that UT is in the field. So, I mean, is there a possibility next season that game number one of the season could be Rock Ridge versus United Township High School? Oh, brother, that'd be crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. There's obviously a possibility. We're looking at some things. I don't know that Geneseo is even going to have that tournament, though, you know, with losing Coach Storm. His wife was a big sponsor for that tournament, so I haven't heard anything. As of right now, we're still in the Geneseo tournament. We're also looking at some other options at possibly moving to a different Thanksgiving tournament.
So tell us about you've had some conversations, I'm assuming, with United Township High School kids. Just tell us a little bit about kind of transitioning now to there.
They've been great. So we've had some open gyms a couple days a week. I've gone and watched a couple of them play in AAU tournaments. I'm doing my best to do what I try to do at Rock Ridge, and that's form those positive relationships. And I've been blown away by their willingness to be in the gym, willingness to work, compete, and then willingness to just have a new guy come in there and take over, because Coach Weber's done a nice job there for the last 8 years. And what they're feeling leading up to my presence in the gym is probably what our guys were feeling. So I wanted to just kind of go in there and let them know that I'm here for them. I'm choosing to be there and be their next leader. So, you know, leadership's all about service, and I'm trying to do that for them and hopefully carry over what I think I've been able to do successfully at Rock Ridge, now at UT.
Well, and it's interesting because at Rock Ridge, you really amped up the schedule the last couple of years, And you kind of, you know, the one advantage, and I'm assuming probably one of the reasons UT wanted you is because, hey, this guy's in a class 2A program with 340-some-odd kids in the school, and he's playing a Western Big Six schedule, basically, non-conference-wise. So you really have an idea of what this league is all about, right? I mean, with what you've played, and the league features the defending 4A state champs. And, you know, in my era growing up in the Quad Cities, I remember in two-class basketball, basically the regional in the Quad Cities was the four Western Big Six schools, Alleman, Moline, Rocky, and UT. And normally those games then during Friday nights during the regular season were huge attractions. And hopefully Alleman can eventually reverse their fortunes if they continue to play in the Big Six. But there's something to be said about Friday night in the Western Big Six. How excited are you to be a part of that now?
I'm incredibly excited. I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's like you get into coaching and you think of, well, if I want to really do this at a high level, you have to kind of move up and make a name for yourself and make your way through the ranks. And ultimately, in our area, the Western Big Six is that kind of landing spot for, you know, are you able to coach at a high level? So I'm looking forward to those Friday nights, those challenges. You know, obviously there's some great coaches in the Western Big Six. So I'm going to have my hands full. But, you know, when you just talk about the allure of the Western Big Six, I think the rivalries that each team kind of builds with each other is what makes that conference great. Because you don't just have the Sherrard versus Rock Ridge rivalry due to proximity, but, like, every team kind of dislikes every team there for whatever reason. And I think that's what kind of makes high school basketball special. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. I've heard about, you know, some great games at the Panther Den. So I'm fortunate to be where I'm at, and I'm thankful to be where I'm at.
And I was talking to Coach Say in the front office before coming on, and it's interesting because, I grew up in the UT school district, and my first taste of kind of high school basketball was my parents were season ticket holders at UT for a long time, and I grew up in the 70s going to some of the games. So I get into these, you know, basically these Western Big Six historians, we get into these, as some coach say, we get into these dumb arguments about who the best team is. And this is Jim Taylor speaking, so I know as people listen to this maybe in the podcast form that are Moline fans and want to hear what the new UT coach is saying. This is not the UT coach speaking, so back up. This is Jim Taylor speaking. The greatest Western Big Six team ever, still today, even after this 2023 season, is the 1979 UT Panthers. So take that, Moline basketball fans. Now, that's Jim Taylor saying that. That's the last trip to state for UT, and I still remember as a kid, you know, the players on that team because of the impact they had at my age. I remember Robin Davis played on that team. I'm thinking about Brent Carmichael, Brian Officer, Troy Mayfield. They called him Silk. Scotty Hunter, Jerome Lipes played on that team, and there was one other kid that was in the rotation, seven kids. But I still remember that team. They played with the Chuck Taylor black high-top Converse shoes. Cliff Talley was the coach. Whitey Verstrate coached at Moline in that era. Duncan Reed had just come over to Rock Island, and the great Jerry Liggett was at Quincy, and that's in the Bruce Douglas and Michael Payne era. So Jim Taylor still says, UT 1979, best Western Big Six team ever. So there, I gave you a little history lesson about UT basketball. I think 1970 was a team that went to state for them, too. See, I love the game so much.
That's impressive. I'll have to take your word for it. I don't have that that cornucopia of knowledge that you do. So
yeah, but again, getting back to kind of the Western Big Six, and I kid a little bit about, you know, who the best team is, but that's like an argument I have with Scott Verstrate because he talks about all the Moline teams because his dad was the coach, his late father was the late coach there. But that's the fun kind of thing you're getting into on Friday nights.
Yeah, and that's the fun part about, you know, being a novice sports guy is you get to have these strong opinions on things that you really can't prove or disprove. Obviously, the Western Big Six had a ton of talent over its time, and you know, Brock Harding now becoming Mr. Basketball is just another kind of feather in the Western Big Six cap. So that's pretty neat.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, though, too, even though there are these rivalries within the Western Big Six, you saw that most of basketball community, they were rooting for Moline down at the state tournament.
Absolutely, and it's hard not to when you've got a team like that that plays the way they did, so unselfish, so fast-paced, but also in control. And Sean Taylor is a guy that's hard not to root for. I mean, he's a phenomenal coach, but he's just also a really good person. He's done a ton for me as a coach. So, yeah, it is neat to have those rivalries, but still, you know, can kind of rally behind each other and root for each other.
All right. Speaking with outgoing Rock Ridge head coach Andy Say on this Saturday morning, WRMJ Sportsline. We're interactive today. You can text us 309-582-6027. Again, 309-582-6027. Plenty more coming up. It's the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning.
If you've renovated your bathroom, added a deck, or made other changes to your home recently, it's time to check your coverage to make sure you have the protection you need. Many people forget that home renovations affect the cost of their house, which means their insurance policy needs to be updated to match.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Casualty Insurance Company, or Country Preferred Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
You need your business to operate as efficiently as possible. Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems is here to make that happen. Let them show you their Nextiva phone systems, made for modern work and built for people, not tech wizards. Everything you need to improve workflow with none of the hassle. Powering your business with call features, mobility, conferencing, collaboration, call analytics, business apps, and integrations. Experience unified communication with VoIP, video and chat, unlimited calling, faxing and texting nationwide, and amazing service with 24/7 support. Bundle with help desk software and sales CRM for phone service that works the way you do. To score your award-winning Nextiva business phone service at a great price, contact Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline for a free demonstration today.
Discover the latest designs of Birkenstock sandals, now at 6140 Run. Find the perfect pair for you with 6140 Run's wide array of classic shades and seasonal styles. Birkenstocks are perfect in both style and comfort all summer long. See true craftsmanship in any Birkenstock design with their collaboration with Horween Leather. See why Birkenstock is rooted in the fine art of crafting premium quality shoes. Enjoy ultimate all-day comfort with Birkenstock sandals, available at 6140 Run, 185 East Main Street in Gale.
Jim Taylor back on the WRMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. Outgoing Rock Ridge head coach Andy Say with us. Do you remember when you realized, like, hey, I want to coach and teach for a living? When did you get that bug?
Well, I think most of my coaches growing up would probably say they had an idea back in the day because I was pretty opinionated about things. But, you know, I remember having a conversation with my brother Matt when I was a senior in high school, and I had no clue what I was going to do, you know, and I changed my major 5 times in college. Oh, so wow. It took me a good amount of time to get to where I was in terms of discovering out what I wanted to do. But he said, I think you'd be a really good teacher and a really good coach. I wish I would have listened to him there. My student loan debt would probably be a little bit different story. But so that's kind of the first time that thought got into my head. But in terms of teaching, I realized that I went out to a camp in Colorado. It was an extreme sports camp for kids with autism, and I'd never had any experience like that. I followed my buddy out there. We went out there for the summer. I was like, okay, a sports camp in Aspen, Colorado, sign me up. And I just absolutely fell in love with it. I remember leaving there that summer. I went home, decided I'm going to be a special education teacher, so...
And the rest is history. Do you remember then, I'm just curious, like the first game you ever coached? Like the first game ever at whatever level, I don't care. Do you remember?
Yeah, I think it was a freshman B game at Kewaunee, and I'm pretty sure I got a technical.
So you were that was your first, you were freshman basketball coach? And you were a graduate of Kewaunee High School, for people that don't know.
Yeah, my first coaching job.
So how old were you then?
I was 23, 24. I was a volunteer freshman assistant coach.
So what, like, give me, so you got a technical, you said, in the first game you coached?
Probably. I was being sarcastic or something. Just, it doesn't surprise anyone that's listening, but I had a lot less chill in me when I first started. My ability to shut up was very tough. So I don't think it was anything malicious. I think I was just being a smart aleck, and it was probably one of my buddies that was officiating.
So then your first head coaching job then at the varsity level is at Galva. And I was looking 2013, 2014. How much do you remember that?
Oh, so much. I still talk to those guys. Dexter Ingles just turned.
Oh, he's such a smooth player.
Yeah.
That's a great name in the LTC, Dexter Ingles.
He actually just had a birthday, so we were texting on his birthday. He was joking. He's like, I'm as old now as you were when you took over at Galva. How does that make you feel? And I kind of joked back that my mid-range game's still stronger than his. So that was a great year. I remember thinking about making the move from Kewaunee to Galva, and I talked to my old coach, Brad Hulick, and he's like, look, you learn more by being the head coach than you do by being the assistant. So if you want to be a head coach, take this opportunity. I did it. We started out 0-9. I thought to myself, what am I doing? Do I even have a clue? Ended up losing to Coach Parsons in the Trevor Lay Weathersfield era in the regional championship. Had a chance. But that was one of my like most memory-filled seasons. I absolutely love those kids. And the challenge that goes with coaching Galva basketball was definitely one for the record books.
So that's interesting. So I was looking at the IHSA record thing then. So you start 0-9 that year, you finish 15-14.
Yep.
So did you in that season, did you think, man, I'm really gaining some professional growth? Was there some, you know, learning that first year as head coach?
Oh, there was so much learning. And just, I mean, as an assistant coach, you're always like, well, I could do this. And you get to live in that world of hindsight and being able to be a you know, sofa quarterback. But just going through the ups and downs, I remember we lost a game we shouldn't lose. Dexter and I sat in the locker room for like 3 hours after the game, like, what are we doing? We shouldn't have any business losing this game. And it was kind of after that where we started to figure things out and got guys locked into their roles and started to win at a high level. And, you know, we had a chance to win that regional title, even though Weathersfield was really darn good that year. So that was a rewarding season for me in terms of creating those relationships with those kids, but also just getting that confidence that, okay, maybe I do have a little bit of a handle on what I'm doing.
So I remember us thinking about talking about your time at Galva, about how long I've been doing it. So, you know, I started in 1990, broadcasting high school basketball. So I broadcast the Gale triplets, and they would play against the Leather twins at Westmer. I always thought it was so great. And one of the Gale triplets, one of his daughters was playing on the 7th grade Galva girls team this year when they were playing the Mercer County 7th grade team. And I said, are you one of the Gale triplet boys? And he looked at me, and he's like, well, I'm pretty old now. I said, well, you'll still always be a Gale triplet to me. So anyway, and that's the thing about, though, when you – one of my favorite conversations that I had here, it was about 4 or 5 summers ago. Brad Dixon was home. He grew up in the Westmore School District, great coach at Camp Point Central. And I remember I said, you know, his first year coaching, whatever it was, I said, what would Brad Dixon of, you know, 2001 or whatever, whenever he started, say to Brad Dixon of 2019? He said, well, Brad Dixon of 2019 would fire Brad Dixon of 2001 because, you know, at a young age, everybody does it. You think you have a handle on what is, you know, it's all about and what the profession is all about. But you realize as you go along, hey, there's a lot of things maybe I didn't understand. I'm assuming that was in play for you too.
Oh, no doubt. I still have those moments where I'm scratching my head like, what am I doing? and I think if I were to give myself any advice back then, it would be make sure you hire assistants that are smarter than you. I benefited greatly from Jeff Henry and Toby Whiteman over the course of my time at Rock Ridge. When I was at Galva, actually, my best friends were my assistants. I had Chad Gilbreth, Brandon Ince, those are guys I grew up with, you know, and then Brady Landis helped us out. So it was like, it's when you're coaching with guys you've grown up with your whole life, the conversations tend to get a little bit heated in the locker room. So, but those guys were an absolute blast to coach with. It's just been, coaching's been special from all a range of things, you know, from the ups and downs, the wins, the challenges, the relationships and just kind of the growth that happens with you and the growth that you get to see in the kids. So I'm just grateful to do what I do.
Well, and I'm glad you bring that up about your staff at Rock Ridge, and that's the one thing that I see when we say program. You know, program is more than just the head coach, and I know that has to be one of the things you look at when you go to UT. I want to make sure the right people are around me because I'm in a challenging position with where I'm at. You were in a challenging position with high expectations at Rock Ridge. What about, you know, piecing that all together and making sure, you know, I have the tools in the toolbox that I need to succeed, for the program, I should say, to succeed, because right. It's all about the program.
It is. It's and I have always said to my kids, if my players, if I need to shut up and, you know, either Coach Henry or Coach Whiteman communicate more or vice versa, whatever it takes to help those guys be successful, that's kind of always been my approach. And I know if you watch the game, you'll see sometimes Toby's got the dry erase board, sometimes Jeff has it, sometimes the kids are talking to each other, and people might see that and think, well, who's really in charge? But the goal for me and the goal for a lot of coaches is to have a player-led program. So if that means one or two different voices are happening, then so be it. And I've always enjoyed that about coaching with Jeff and Toby, is that it's not about one person. It's about who's going to help get the job done in that moment. So just special to be able to work with those guys. And when you look about, you know, the challenge of putting together a well-developed or well-rounded coaching staff at UT, it's a huge challenge, right? Because I'm going into a school district where I know very little. And there's almost 2,000 students. So you've got to find guys that relate to the kids, guys that are loyal to you, guys that, you know, are about the same things that you are, not in terms of X's and O's, but in terms of relationships, in terms of competitiveness, in terms of promoting a culture. So it's definitely a big challenge. It's something that I've got to kind of figure out in a short amount of time, because we'll probably want to get them hired by the May board meeting. But it's also part of what makes this journey special and this new challenge special. I go from having one paid assistant at Rock Ridge to now six at UT. So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. It's obviously going to be a new experience for me.
All right, so a lot of people are probably saying, well, are you going to ask him, Taylor, who's the next basketball coach at Rock Ridge going to be?
Oh, I don't know. There's some really good candidates that have applied. I've obviously got to keep my mouth shut because I only know of a handful of them. But what I will tell you is this. Mrs. Hassan, Mrs. Graves, they've been actively trying to find my replacement. So when I say that, I mean that with a lot of respect and sincerity, because what you don't want, especially at a program like Rock Ridge, is you don't want to sit back and just take whatever comes your way, right? You want to actively go out there and try to recruit guys to be a part of this school community and program. So I will say they're doing a great job of going out there and trying to find the right guy to fill that spot.
All right, so getting back to kind of the basically coaching 101, okay? So, what you know, in terms of like practice plan, game plan, from that aspect of your profession, I mean, if you want to coach for a long time, you have to say, man, I'm engaged in a practice plan. I'm engaged in a game plan. How stoked are you about that type of stuff?
So that's my favorite, like outside of the relationship part of this, my favorite aspect to coaching is the preparation side of it, the practice planning and the game planning. I bet you I go through multiple variations of what a practice plan will be throughout the course of a day.
Now, do you film your practices at Rock Ridge or not?
We do a little bit. Once we kind of get going into the season, we kind of stop doing that so much. And it's tough at Rock Ridge because we had our whole program practicing on the same gym floor every day. So that will probably be something, you know, moving into UT that we do a little bit more because it won't be so chaotic.
But when you film like practice, what do you look at then when you're looking back at the tape?
Is it more than, hey, that kid's screwing around. Stop it, so-and-so. No, I mean, what you're looking for tendencies or habits, or, I mean, just this is like coaching 101. I'm just curious.
Habits. I'm a big fan and believer of habits. What are your daily habits? So that's kind of what I'm looking at. I'm looking at posture and drills. And I don't mean like as a kid being, you know, disengaged or having a bad attitude. I mean like when we're on defense, are they in a stance? Are they actively moving their feet? Is their head on a swivel? Are they pointing? Are they talking? I'm looking for things that I'm not seeing because I'm either coaching or focusing on certain things. So I'm kind of looking behind where I would be looking in practice and trying to figure out what am I not seeing? What am I missing? Who's not boxing out? Who's not talking? So it's a lot of habits. It's not necessarily skill stuff. It's more of, you know, habits. It's more of body mechanics, posture, and just engagement.
And then as far as talking game plan, you know, preparing for an opponent that you may feel that, and you probably get more stoked where, maybe not, but like we're the underdog and we're going against the favorite. Or maybe you say, hey, we're the heavy favorite. We still need a game plan and we need to follow game plan accordingly. I guess compare and contrast those two.
So I'll give you two examples because we ran into both of them this year. The first one is our matchup with Sherrard in the regional championship. Like we're the clear favorites, right? All the pressure's on us to win that regional title. We had just gone to state. We returned almost everyone. And we've already beat Sherrard twice. We're at our own gym. But Sherrard's really hungry right now. They had more fans than we did in our own gym. They're ready to go. They're locked in. And I know Alex is doing a good job of getting those guys ready. So pressure's on us. How do we prepare for that game? Well, you know, you kind of look at those two game preparations prior to that, and then how did we do in certain situations? What are they trying to do? What do we need to take away most importantly for them? So that was a really fun experience for me because it, you know, it's always easy to prepare when you're the underdog. It's always easy to get those guys ready when they know they shouldn't win this game or when everyone thinks they're not going to win this game. So there was that example, and I just locked in on that game on what are they trying to do offensively that we have to take away, right? If we can limit their easy looks, the things that they're really good at, then we can keep the score low enough that even on a bad shooting night, we can win that game. Now, fast forward to the Princeton game. That's a game I started preparing for after the Christmas tournament. Like, I think I saw every one of their games leading up to our game, whether that was watching it on YouTube or NFHS or begging people to share film that, well, you know, coach, why do you want their film? You're not even on their schedule. And like, well, you know, like, eventually I hope that we're going to see those guys. And there was a lot of hype and build up to that game. So, and I felt like we were the underdog going into that one. So, but I felt that for that game, it was habits. It was limiting turnovers. It was limiting runouts and offensive rebounds. So I kind of broke it down to just three big areas that stood out to me there. Because if you can keep them from turning you over, you limit about a quarter of their points. If you can keep them off the glass, now we're talking half their points, right? So we did a great job of that. And that was a game that I'll always look back at and think, wow, like that was the least amount of coaching I did the whole year. I just kind of sat back and we just played and guys did their jobs and it was fun and it was rewarding.
And that environment that night, and just the storyline of the game getting moved and all of the stuff leading up to that, that was a really neat week. And you always like to be on the upper end of it because I still argue, no, we ain't moving that thing. You're playing at Orion. They got the sectional. That's the way it is. If you can't get in the gym, you can't get in the gym. That's the way it should be. I mean, but it is what it is, and it turned out to be, you know, a great atmosphere at Geneseo. And I can't remember if I asked you this or what coach I asked this. And it's always about the journey of each season. But basketball is unique because you have to play in such a short turnaround time frame. And you can never, I can, as a broadcaster, appreciate the beauty of the game, that game, and enjoy it to its fullest extent, even after it's over. And then, boom, the horn sounds. Well, we got to get ready for Rockford Lutheran, I guess.
Yeah. Is there ever a point in your coaching career that you can savor those moments? Because you can think back and probably say, did I really? I mean, you explained the scouting of it, but did you get to really savor the moment of winning that game, do you think? And that is, I guess, the bittersweetness of coaching maybe in the postseason.
You know, that's a great question because, like, when you specifically talk about the Princeton game, I think there was, like, the bus ride home. We were able to appreciate that. But even then, you know, I'm trying to get, trying to get film on Rockford Lutheran, trying to prepare for that next game. So at the postseason, it's really hard to appreciate those wins because you're always moving on to the next one. You win the Rockford Lutheran game, and all of a sudden you've got to do media stuff. You've got to figure out, you know, bus times. You got to figure out even potentially getting ready for state. They start preparing teams for state the minute they make it to the sectional. So you're constantly doing things throughout that postseason that don't even revolve around basketball. I don't think I watched BCC film until the day before the game because I was so busy doing other stuff. And Coach Henry obviously helped me out a ton with that. But it's tough to really appreciate those wins when they come. I will give you two examples of games this year. This year where I was able to appreciate those wins for a little bit after we won is the Columbia game where we won down at the Abingdon Shootout, and then also the Rock Island game where we walked into the Rock Garden and snuck out with a win. Those are probably two games this year where I got to actually sit back and be like, you know, that was a special moment for this program, special game.
Well, and then the other thing about coaching that maybe you as a coach, you can appreciate, and like maybe you don't see it in the box score or whatever, but I was thinking about even like the Bloomington Central Catholic game this year at state where, I mean, you know, ifs and buts or candy and nuts, they say, but if Josh Wheatley plays in that game, I think the Rockets are playing for a state title. What happens in the state title game, I don't know. But the one thing I was disappointed with in myself as that game ended is I thought like that day, the way Carson Clummy played in that defensive matchup with the Serta kid.
Cole Serta, yeah.
And the tough shots that kid had to make. I mean, he's a scorer. He's going to score him. But I'm like, he executed the defensive game plan to perfection. I mean, did he not really? I mean, that's so even in those type of moments where you lose, you say, well, this bunch of kids did okay, and I coached them up today. We were in a position to win this game.
Yeah, and Carson's always been the kid that's, you know, I've said it a lot. He's been one of our highest IQ basketball players
in our
program.
He's not one of your kids anymore, though.
Well, I know. I keep catching myself saying that. It's going to take me a little bit of time. He's always been a high IQ basketball player. He did a great job. Not only on Serta, but throughout the course of the season, putting him on bigger guards and tougher, opponents. But, you want to win every game, right? As a coach, you want to win every game. As a fan, you want to win every game, but it's just not feasible. It's not, it doesn't happen. So, you can't drive yourself crazy by picking yourself apart. You still have to find, well, what did we do well? What can I appreciate from that game? Because otherwise you're going to drive yourself crazy, and ultimately you're going to drive your kids away.
Yeah. So, and I just, you know, what are some other things, and it's an unfair question, but when you talk about your time at Rockridge, what are some, and you know, even when you were an assistant and that run they were on with, you know, with Ethan playing and Brian Heath and Luke Johnson and that group, because this is another, like, argument we get in here about totality of all the programs we cover in every sport. I still argue that the best ever team in any sport that we've ever covered, and there have been state championship teams, there's been unbelievable runs, I still argue the best team ever, hands down, was Ethan Happ's senior year in any sport. But that's they talk about the agony and the beauty are equal in those type of moments. You know, it just takes one maybe bad quarter, one bad half, and that'll do you in. And that's one of the, and I know everybody on that staff, that's the one agony about that team
had a chance to be undefeated state champs, if not for maybe a bad, 12 minutes in that game or whatever it was.
Yeah, that was tough. Obviously, you know, when you've got a guy like Ethan and you come up that close to your ultimate goal, which is making it to state, it was gut-wrenching for those guys and you know, Coach Whiteman, obviously. But I will say that I think it helped motivate us the next year and help us kind of stay focused. And one big factor that following year was that loss to Peoria Richwoods, where it was just like, okay, we're not untouchable. This could happen to us just like it did last year. And it got those guys focused and ready. And ultimately, we went on a nice run and made it down to the state tournament for the first time in program history.
And I think about the super sectional game this year was such a great game. And then the year before at Mendota, I thought those two sectional games were such great games. And then the super sectional game that year against Rockford Lutheran, when I just think about, like, what's at stake. So I mean, when you reflect back, I mean, what are some of those type of games that really stand out for you?
It's funny, you think of moments in those games, but I ultimately, like, I don't know why, but I always think of the fans rushing the court, the celebration that the kids get to have. And that's what's really special. And obviously, because we win, when you lose, you're on the heartbreaking side where you're walking off the court and you're, you know, hugging and crying with your teammates. But, you know, just talking about some of those moments, I remember Carson Clemmy at halftime, we had Brody Whiteman was in foul trouble, Braden Dean was in foul trouble, and we were playing Farmington, and we kind of were like, well, let's put Clemmy on Rutledge and let's just see if he can do it. And, you know, everyone's kind of like looking at me like, are you crazy? Carson's the slowest kid on the team. Like, yeah, but he's smart. He's going to figure it out, and we don't have anybody else. What, I mean, Jace isn't going to guard him. He hasn't guarded anyone all year. So Carson went out, shut him down, didn't score a point the rest of the game, and I actually thought he gave up in the fourth quarter. But I remember Carson gets a steal, comes down on a fast break, and shoots a three, 1-0, and he made that shot, and it was just like, we're going to win this game. Like, we're going to go to the super sectional, and that was a special moment. And then how do you game plan for Walt Hill Jr.? You got to guard him with five guys and hope he doesn't have 40 points. And a performance I'll never forget was Landon Wheatley's performance against Walt Hill this year in the super sectional game. Just an absolute stud. And then he scores the go-ahead bucket, gets injured at the end of the game, and ultimately we win. Those games, that experience, that environment, those are memories that these kids will have forever, those experiences that they'll get to appreciate. And you know, that goes the same for me, too.
Yeah, and I'll always remember the one thing I'll always remember about the Rockford Lutheran game this year. It's like, thank our lucky stars they don't keep passing the ball to Vontez Dent, because that kid's not missing anything that day. Man, oh, man. I'm like, every time he threw a ball up, I'm like, that thing's going in.
Yeah.
So, but then, you know, I think about even one of the great games, too, that we broadcast. And it was Coach Whiteman's last year as head coach when they played. It was the regional championship game against Alleman here at Mercer County High School. And I remember the atmosphere that night. And I'll always remember what a knockdown, drag-out game that was. And I remember the vantage point of, well, Carson Frakes was such a tremendous player, and Gentry Whiteman, you know, they were seniors that year. And I thought that group was poised to make a deep run. And I just remember how that kind of game ended and the kind of the sinking feeling. And I'll always remember Coach Whiteman on that postgame, because at Mercer County where we're at, there's that table. And I always appreciate post games because kind of the air is let out of the gym. So the game's over, it's an empty gym. So it's all that pressure that's been kind of released. And everybody is just, I don't know, it's like that letdown moment or whatever. And I remember Coach Whiteman that day was sitting down on the bleachers doing that interview that day. But the other memory I love about interscholastic athletics after that knockdown drag out, just the handshake line, and then seeing those kids that are seniors come to the realization that I played my last game. And the contrast of, you know, maybe a year before where I, 2 years before where I throw a shot in you know, from three quarters court, and it's the thrill of victory. And now we're on the other end where it's the agony of defeat and my career's over as a Rockridge Rocket. That's the beauty of the game that I love, and to see how kids handle all that. And I remember that night, too. So, I mean, those are like the moments of high school basketball that I really get into.
Yeah, and those are moments of growth for those kids. They don't realize it in those moments because it's overwhelming. You know, you work hard to get to the point where you're at, and you have expectations, you have dreams, and you either achieve them or they fall short. But ultimately, those are moments that impact those kids forever, and they give you a greater appreciation for the game of basketball, for their teammates, their community, all those things. And so those – it doesn't get talked about enough because obviously everyone likes a winner, but winners are also made after losses too.
Yeah. And I'm just curious, and I was meant to ask this earlier. How do you make the AAU equation work with interscholastic athletics? You know, we always kind of hear from some that, hey, this is ruining that, or we need to do this differently. And that's something that you've, to me, in my opinion, you've had always have been able to handle it perfectly. So is there a key to handling that equation where one can benefit the other, where we really think AAU can benefit interscholastic athletics and maybe interscholastic athletics can make AAU better? How have you handled that, you think?
Well, I tell you what, coaching AAU is what led me to Rockridge, right? So I'll always have an appreciation for AAU basketball. Coaching AAU allowed me to coach Isaiah Roby, DJ Carton, CJ Carr, Ethan Happ, guys, you know, that are now getting paid to play basketball. So for me personally, it's something that I can see great value in. Now, just talk about the Rockridge program. How much does it benefit from having kids that play Quad City Shockers and get to see real talent and get to compete against real talent and get out of their little bubble of small school basketball they're in. So it's great for these kids' growth and development too. Are there negative sides to it? Absolutely. But I think there's negative sides to high school basketball too. I would be the first to tell you that not every program is doing things per the IHSA rules. So, you know, everyone has a pro, a con list based off AAU, based off of high school basketball. But ultimately, it is what it is. Like, it's not going anywhere. So you either adapt or, you know, you fall to that old mentality. So my thing is I want to coach kids that want to be great, that want to have a dream of playing college basketball, have a dream of playing the NBA, right? So if that means working with AAU coaches, then so be it. Because ultimately what I want to do is what's best for the kids. And I also think that, you know, AAU basketball lends itself nicely to Illinois high school basketball. We shouldn't be doing much in the month of July because kids should be playing with their AAU programs or should be getting ready for football season or cross country or what have you. AAU teams aren't practicing during the month of June because they're with their high school program. So I think it lends itself nicely, and it allows those coaches to have, the high school coaches to have a break and not have to be worried about, okay, let's start open gyms in March. Let's worry about how many shots we're getting up in April. So I think there's a great balance to it. But like with anything, the good or the bad depends on the people that are working it. So, you know, I just try to take the mentality of what is benefiting the kids, what is benefiting the program.
All right. You know, when I set this up this week to have Coach Say on with us, he said, well, is this going to be live? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, my wife wants to listen. So this is always a shared experience. So you have to have a supportive wife. And I know your kids are young, but they have an understanding of what you do. What about, you know, family life and the buy-in and the support you get from them? And the best school district your wife ever worked at was probably Mercer County. All the Mercer County people say, yeah, that's right.
She still does wear a lot of her Mercer County clothes around the house. It was painful for me over the course of these last few years to kind of just go home and see her in Mercer County clothes. Just I'm just throwing that out there. But
keep wearing them, Mrs. Say.
Obviously.
Because the greatest basketball team this year was the 7th grade girls basketball team at Mercer County.
That is factual. I'm still kicking myself over those losses. Those keep me up at night. But now the support I get from home is great. And it's honestly, it's what helps kind of balance me out and keep me sane. You know, I remember coming home from, I think it was our sectional championship. Our kids were still up. It was 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. They were having a big party at our house. I've got pictures of the kids wearing the nets, Go Rockets posters that my daughter drew all over the house and just excited for me. And it just means so much. And really, it's special to, you know, have my son and my daughter be there, get to see me coach. And, you know, there was when we took our bus down to state and we stopped at Taylor Ridge Elementary, I got to pick up my daughter and go through the line and give everyone a high five. That was a special moment for me. So something I'll miss when you talk about leaving the Rock Ridge School District, that's something I won't ever be able to do again. But, you know, I know they're still going to be there for me and still going to have my back and support me regardless of what colors I'm wearing or what, you know, logo I have on my chest. And that's what's most important.
Well, and I remember we talked about this with you early this school year, and this is the utmost respect and sincerity when I say it, about a person that loves the game and loves to coach. When we talk about the contrast of coaching, you know, seventh grade girls that may have not played much are learning the game. Hey, how much does it count when you make a basket? Well, 2 points, you know, that it can be to that level, but you can get great satisfaction coaching at that level. And then the contrast, you know, coaching an elite 2A program. But when you boil it all down, it's about instruction and teaching and coaching. So that's when I knew and I appreciated, hey, this guy loves the game of basketball, where he wants to teach the game at whatever level. And I really appreciate you, coach, because I love the way you coached at the seventh grade level. I'm like, that dude is doing it the right way. He's developing kids that want to play basketball and learning the game. It's not about, I mean, and you've won your fair share of games, but it's about, hey, I want to keep the kids enthused and interested. I want them to keep playing. I want growth. And I think we lose a lot of that at some of our junior high levels in whatever sport. And there needs to be more people like you coaching at that level. Now, mind you, just sometimes just there's not enough people like that to do it.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate you saying that. And what it ultimately does boil down to is that I love the game of basketball, right? Like, it's given me so much, so I want to give back to it. If, you know, I can even do that, or if that's a possible thing. But, you know, some of my favorite moments were coaching the seventh and eighth grade girls these past 2 years. And it's just, I don't know, like, we went 6 quarters without scoring and I still walked out of that place. And I'm like, man, I love doing this. I love being around these girls. I love helping impact them. And, you know, we were in a spot where we had low numbers in our girls program, and ultimately this year I think we saw those numbers grow exponentially to where we actually had double digits on both teams. Yeah. And that is something that I'll always kind of appreciate and love, and just my time with them. And I know they were really disappointed when I made the announcement too. So if any of you girls are listening, I truly appreciate you, and thank you for allowing me to coach you the last 2 years.
That's awesome. All right, and the other thing I was thinking about, we talked earlier in the season about that, kind of doing both. And I remember you made some comment about, I said, well, it's always great at junior high girls games what you hear in the stands. And you said something about, great line, about, yeah, I could write a coffee table book on that. And a couple weeks ago, or was it toward the end of the basketball season, we had Marcus Bush on, who's the New Boston Elementary School principal, and he's an official now. And I say, what do you love hearing from the stands? And he goes, something about, I could write a book too about, you know, over the back. Yeah. There's no such call as that. So I love that from Coach Bush, or Mr. Bush, the principal. All right, how good the Rockets going to be next year, you think? They're going to be pretty good. And you mentioned Sherrard. I tell you, I can't wait next year, because I think that's going to be a great game when Rock Ridge and Sherrard play. And I think potentially they could play 3 times where they're going to play in the regular season. And then I think they both could be top seeds in the subsectional, where they potentially could play maybe for a sectional championship. That's what we're hoping for, Sherrard and Rockridge, anyway, where the potential, the possibility is there. But Rockets, in a good position to be very good again, right? And I know you. That's the second team you'll be following next year.
Absolutely. The sky's the limit for that group. Man, I just – people think I'm crazy for moving when I did, and maybe I am. It's something I'll always regret at some level, some fashion. They're in my mind, they're a top four team in state. You know, obviously DePaul Prep going to 3A helps because – let's face it, everyone was playing for second place last year. They were that good, and they return a lot of guys. So, no, they have every possibility, every potential you need in order to make a state title run. And, you know, when you've got Landon Bull, who's such a matchup problem, Landon Wheatley, who's maybe the toughest, smartest, most competitive kid I've ever coached, and then you've got guys like Carson Clemmy, TJ Wilson, Caleb Kuniko's the greatest shooter in the world. I'll die on that hill. And then you've got guys coming off the bench like Baylen Lehmans, and I think Austin Vandegeest is going to have a big role for that team this year. So, no, I mean, that's a team that could, I won't say should, but could make a state title run, and hopefully whoever their coaches can get them past that semifinal game and into the championship game.
All right, Coach. Man, thanks for the time here this morning and your 6 years as head coach and your great cooperation with the station. It is greatly appreciated. We'll miss you, and we'll root for the UT Panthers next year.
Well, I appreciate everything you've done for me personally and for this program and this community and actually for the game of basketball, too. So thank you.
And Ty came in here even specifically. Do you want to say anything to Coach Say?
Yeah, I've got a brief story that I'd like to share about Coach Say. Now, I don't remember, you probably remember this. So after Rockridge played at Mercer County this year, I told Coach Say when I heard him after the game, I said, you know, you've never lost a game with me here. So fast forward, the streak lives all the way until we get to Champaign. And after the Rockets lost to Central Catholic in the semifinals, I went into the media room and I was setting up our recorder to record your guys' audio up there, and that door opens in the back. They come up from the elevator, and me and Coach Say walk past each other, and the only thing he says to me is he goes, "Well, so much for your streak," and then he just kept walking up to the podium. And I just think that was so funny, and I tried really hard not to laugh because, you know, when like the losing team comes in there, it's kind of like a somber atmosphere. But yeah, that was really funny, and I remember that to this day. It was really, it was just a hilarious moment, I thought.
All right. Coach, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it, brother.
Yep. All right. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate both of you.
That'll do it for the WRMJ Sports Line.